be seated. It is the season of Epiphany. The word Epiphany means showing, when God pulls back the veil just for a moment, and out from the busyness of our mundane lives, we receive some sort of life from eternity, a light, a little illumination, a miracle. It's the season of miracles. And a miracle happened to me yesterday. Many of you know that I will be leaving for India in just 2 days. I leave early Tuesday morning. I've wanted to go to India my whole life. You see, my parents were studying Hinduism when I was born up until I was 5, when they had me baptized in the Episcopal Church, and of course I've never left. But I've always had this curiosity about India and all these memories of these Indian people and swamis. And I thought a lot about these daily devotions that I film, that many of you watch. I thought, how am I going to film a little video every morning from India and get it here on the right day? And I was worried about the internet and technology and 11 hours ahead. And so I decided I would pre-record the 7 days that I'm actually in the country. And I would show you where I am and what I'm doing. So I recorded each day an extra meditation, and I did the 6 days. And on the 7th day, I'm going to spend the day where Mother Teresa worked, in her homes for the dying in Calcutta. So I wanted to show a picture of Mother Teresa. So yesterday, after a board meeting, I rush over to Chamblin's bookstore. How many of you have been to Chamblin's? What? Not the one downtown, the big one. And did you know it's the biggest used bookstore in the whole country? If you haven't been, you gotta go. You can get lost in all the bookshelves. It's amazing. So I walk into Chamblin's and I don't have a lot of time, and I have to find a picture of Mother Teresa. Well, that's not that hard, right? Well, I go to the section on India. Doesn't seem to be any there. I go to where the Roman Catholic Church had a lot of books about the Catholic Church. No. And I'm feeling nervous. I'm already getting nervous and scared anyway. So I just said, God, this is a dumb prayer, but can you show me a picture of Mother Teresa? I'm standing in an aisle full of books when I say this prayer, and I turn to my left, and right at my eye level is a book by my own godfather, and on the cover is Mother Teresa. My godfather died when he was 54 of colon cancer. He had a PhD from Columbia in New York in world religions, and he ran a radio show where he interviewed different religious people. He had interviewed Mother Teresa, and I didn't know that. I also realized that I hadn't thought a lot about my godfather in a long time, but that I'm the exact age that he was when he died. And he went to India many times. So I think he's coming with me. In about the year 450 B.C., another book miracle happened. There was a scribe and a scholar living in the Persian Empire. His name was Ezra. He was Jewish, but the Jews had all been exiled from Judea under the Babylonians. Then Persia had taken over, and this Jewish man, Ezra, found himself working in the emperor's grounds, and he was given the authority to go into the emperor's archives, which would have been like the Chamberlains in 450 BC. But instead of books with pages that turn, there were scrolls that you would unroll. Ezra was homesick, as were all his people. When they were forced to leave, they couldn't bring with them their scriptures even. They had to leave everything behind. They had lost a lot of their history and memory. And Ezra, I imagine, was praying to God and feeling lost in that sea of scrolls when he comes upon a scroll that is the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Torah, and it goes through the whole history of the Exodus and the making of the law. It is a book about what Judaism is. When Ezra finds this book, he's so moved, he goes to the emperor and asks for permission to go back to Jerusalem with some of his people, and the emperor grants him permission. So the scripture we hear is this Jewish scribe. He's standing in the rubble of Jerusalem. People are hungry. They've forgotten who they are. They feel lost. And Ezra starts reading aloud the words of this ancient book that is about them. And people hear him reading and they start to cry. And they remember who they are. A book miracle also happened to Jesus, you know. Jesus was 30 years old when he began his ministry. 30! Now that sounds young to us, but the life expectancy back then for a man was between 30 and 40. We like to think Jesus was a young man. Jesus had lived his whole adult life in this town called Nazareth, which probably had 300 people in it, maybe 400, scholars believe. So he knew pretty much everyone, you know. He spent his whole adult life there, but we know nothing about it. The scripture doesn't think it's important. Because although Jesus was the incarnation of God, it was like he was quiet or dormant or asleep. Like a volcano that's just a hill until it erupts. At the age of 30, Jesus walked from Nazareth around the bottom of the Sea of Galilee to the River Jordan, where he's baptized by John. And it's in his baptism that the eruption occurs. The Holy Spirit comes down upon him. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says in the Gospel of Luke that he's driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, the Judean wilderness, which is about 100 miles from Nazareth. And there, Jesus really awakens to who he is. He fasts and he prays for 40 days, which I admire so much. I'm planning on bringing power bars with me to India. It's only 7 days, and I'm worried about eating power bars. He didn't eat for 40 days? After he emerged from the desert, scholars think that he walked the other way above the Sea of Galilee because he performs miracles in Cana on the northern shore. And then he goes home. He goes home. Of course he goes home. Where else is he going to go? It's his home. He goes to Nazareth and he goes to the synagogue on Sunday, just like he did every week all of his life. And he knew Mrs. McGillicuddy and Mr. Smith and the lady who always has bad breath and everybody. Have you ever been home after you've been somewhere that's changed you? And how home kind of looks different? I wonder if the synagogue looked different for Jesus. If it looked somehow smaller, stranger. It was customary for a returning person or a visitor to be invited to read the scripture. So they hand Jesus a scroll. And it's the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Jesus reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the captive go free." Jesus sits down, and everyone is staring at him. They know that something amazing is happening, that he was supposed to read that. And then Jesus says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, this is me. But the people of Nazareth, they can't see the book miracle. They can't see Jesus. And the reason why they can't see the miracle is because they think they already know him. They say, "Oh, this is Joseph's son. We know him." You know, we can't see miracles when we're so comfortable, when we think that we know exactly what's going to happen, when we live according to everything organized and our schedule is always the same, when we get dulled by our busyness. It's not that miracles aren't happening, they're happening all the time. It's that most of the time we can't see them. Because we are not awake. Because we think we know each other. And we think we know what our next appointment is and that we have to make a phone call and return an email. And we're not looking for the veil to be pulled back. We know him. He's Joseph's son. So Jesus says, "You know, no prophet is welcome in their hometown. Elisha couldn't perform miracles with his people. He had to perform a miracle with a widow at Zarephath. Elijah doesn't cure his own family. He cures Naaman the Syrian. Because you have to be different. You have to be unexpected in order to open your eyes. If you're too familiar, you won't see me." Well, they hate that. The church only gives us this passage to read because maybe they don't want to disturb you with the rest. But what happens next is that the village takes Jesus to a cliff and they try to kill him. They try to push him off the cliff. His home! Everyone that he knew and loved. But it wasn't his time. So he just walks through the midst of them and goes on his way. But Jesus never goes home again. He does not go back to Nazareth ever again. And the greatest miracle, I think, that occurred was not the book miracle, believe it or not. It was actually the rejection. Because I don't know, maybe Jesus would have wanted to stay there. It was where he lived. But it was that rejection of his own people that pushed him, catapulting him out into the world to change everything. And sometimes the greatest miracles happen when you are rejected, when you fail, when you really mess up, because that's when God does the best work and can transform you and make your life wholly new. Look what God will do with the cross. I believe there are miracles happening in this congregation all the time. I'm overwhelmed by it. After this service, we're all going to go into Tolliver Hall and have lunch. The clergy aren't even going to say hello to you at the door because we expect you to go over there and have lunch with us. And we're going to give you some of the stories of the miracles that have happened just this year. How we're birthing a center for well-being and doing these support groups that are really helping people. How we're trying to work with the city on helping the homeless. How our bookstore is trying to create this economy where all of the money goes to wonderful causes, and on and on and on. And we're going to show you pictures and slides. But the truth is that I don't even know what's going to happen next. I just know I'm supposed to go to India, and then I'm supposed to come back, and then God's going to lead us in incredible ways, as God's already been doing. Revitalizing our neighborhood, teaching us to love one another. But I do know one thing, and that's that we can't go home, and we can't go back, and we can't go to the way things were and the way we wish things were. That's just not the way it works. It didn't work for Jesus, and it doesn't work for us. We have to move forward into the unknown together. And we have to keep our eyes open because the miracles are all around us. Amen.